Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? I know it's gloomy outside, but it doesn't have to be gloomy in here. Nice to see everybody here. I know a lot of people are not here. We haven't even opened up our overflow over there because a lot of them are out of town. Please pray for our members who are out of town. More specifically, if you can see the young people, a lot of the guys are out of town. They went to a bachelor party for one of our young people who's going to get married next week. Jigs, you know, Jigs. So they went camping for his bachelor party. So pray for them. Hopefully they're still alive when they get back. You know, they're not used to that kind of stuff. They're not used to no toilets and, you know, they have to cook their own food. Usually their moms do that for them, but now they have to do it for themselves. So hopefully they get back safe and sound. So first let me thank God for a wonderful Mother's Day service we had last week. Who was here last week? So praise God for that Mother's Day service. Thank you for all the people who arranged everything, especially for the giveaways. Did you all get the giveaways, the bags? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to share that with your husbands because there's nothing for Father's Day. Trust me. There's nothing for Father's Day. They spent it all on Mother's Day. But anyway, thank you for those who arranged that. Thank you also for Brother Eugene, who delivered the message. What was the message last week? The GBC woman. Right. Made me want to be one. The GBC woman. Do you remember what the GBC woman was? Oh, yeah. Huh? Godly discernment, blessed contentment, and what else? Comprehend the God's refinement. Okay, wow. GBC, I don't know if there's any GBC women here. You forgot. Hopefully you guys remember that. If you don't, it's available in our website for you to hear again. Again, all these messages are available in the website. Brother Jesse back there, the guy who, can you wave? Our new member, Brother Jesse. He's the one working in the background to get all these things available, okay, in the website, and also for you techies on podcasts. You know what podcasts are? I don't know either. So find out, ask him, ask the people who do podcasts. Basically, it's an automatic thing that kind of tells you whenever there's a new message available to listen to on our website or on the podcast itself. So thanks, Brother Jesse. There's a lot of other projects that are going on right now. We're going to let you know about them as we complete them. So today we're going to be back to our study of the letter to the Ephesians. If you can remember, the last session that we had was, all we talked about was the godly wife. Who was here for that? Godly woman? Okay. Thank you for coming back. Okay. I know a lot of, I know some of the stuff I said was harsh to some, especially the makeup part. But I didn't mean for women not to wear any makeup. I'm just saying don't put on too much and don't worry about what you look like exterior, you know, your exterior appearance. Don't worry about it too much. We should be working on really is our internal, how we are, how our hearts are, how we are towards God. Do we hope in God? And that was basically the message for that, for the women. So that's what we talked about. Mainly that, and also the topic of submission. Okay, submission. And again, the recording is online for this message. I'm not going to do a big review on it. Actually, I was watching some of my sermons the past 3-4 weeks, and they're long. You guys find that? They're a little bit long. They're like an hour, 15 minutes. If you notice that, tell me. Okay. Don't just sit there and just keep nodding your head. Just let me know, because I will make the changes necessary. And I was watching it. I'm like, I can't sit through this myself. It's so long. So I'm going to try my best to kind of shorten the messages to within an hour. Hopefully, I'm not going to go over an hour today. But let me know. That's why there's a comment section there. You have my email. You have my cell phone. Let me know. Okay, don't be shy. The recording for the message from last week is online. You can listen to it. It's not great quality because we had technical difficulties, but you can still listen to it. I think you still understand the gist of the message. So if you missed that sermon. So last week we only took up one verse. Verse 22. That's all we took up last week. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Okay. And one thing I forgot to mention here, it says there, to your own husbands. So you're not to submit to any man, especially if you're not married to them. That's not what it says. Just submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, right? So I said that a godly woman, a godly wife, was originally created by God as a helper to the man, right? Remember in Genesis 2, the woman is the helper to the man. But because of sin, because Eve overstepped her role as a helper, God's curse upon her, found in Genesis 3:16, was two things. What was the curse on Eve? Painful childbirth, and you'll be under the authority of your husband. So in that sense, really what it's talking about is the role of the woman and the role of the man. It's not a hierarchy. They have different roles, and I want you guys to get that. So the helper is a role. You're not a slave, remember? You're not a slave to Adam. Adam wasn't looking for a slave. He was looking for a helper fit for him, right? That's why when God gave him the animals, he said, no, none of these fit. I want a helper fit for me, like me, but different. Right? That's what Adam was asking for. So God gave him the woman as the helper. I also said that the reason why that curse was put on the woman, the curse of being under the authority of her husband, why that was put on by God, or why that was declared by God in Genesis 3, was to redeem his original design for a woman to be a helper. Not the leader, but the helper. Who is the leader? Who is the overseer? Adam. He was the one who was assigned to be overseer, not the wife, right? So God said, I will curse you. I'm going to put you back, you know, where you should be, as a helper. Again, a helper is not inferior. You shouldn't understand that as being inferior to the man. Right? It doesn't mean that she's below him. That's not what it means, because that term helper is also used of God, right? God is helper. He is a helper to us. So when we say that God helps us, it doesn't mean he's inferior to us. Right? In fact, it means he's more powerful. He can do the things that we can't. So that's the thing. That's with the woman, it's the same thing, right? The woman is, you're not more powerful, but you do the things that we can't do. One of the illustrations I used was that of bearing children. Men can't bear children, right? First of all, we have low tolerance for pain. Women have high tolerance for pain. Men get sick, it's a cough or it's a cold, they look like they're dying. Women are different, right? That's why when they can bear kids. And I've experienced kind of what it feels like to bear children when I had kidney stones. A nurse told me, oh, kidney stones is like bearing children. I'm like, oh, man. And you have to do that for 9 months. To carry that weight, the uncomfortable weight, like, you know, when we women here, you can, mothers, right? You can agree to that. So it's a role thing. We're not talking about submission as in women as doormats, women as slaves. It's her role when it comes to the design of God for a woman. You shouldn't look at helper as inferior to man. And I said that this understanding of submission shows us that even in submission, okay, women and wives, for that matter, are able to lead their husband. Right? Remember? Even in submission, just by doing your role, you're able to lead your husband. Lead him to become a better husband. Lead him to become a better father. And ultimately, to be a more godly man. Where did we see that? In 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6. Remember? 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6. That a woman should be what? Quiet, gentle spirit. Okay, there. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. That's leading her husband to what? To be a godly man. How? By a by the conduct of their wives. Keep going. When they see your respectful and pure conduct. So in submission, you're able to lead your husband. Okay. And again, leading your husband doesn't mean overpowering him. Doesn't mean you step into his role as leader. It means that because of your respectful and pure conduct, because of your hope in God, not hope in beauty, remember, you're able to lead him. You don't overpower him. You don't nag him. Okay? You don't tell him what to do. Right? Well, kind of, but not in a nagging way. But in a respectful and pure conduct. That's how women can lead their husbands. That's how God designed women to be, the helper. Help your husband become better instead of becoming worse. Trying to overpower and control your husband is not the way to do that. That's what Eve did, remember? Eve, instead of, you know, when Satan offered her the fruit, she should have stepped back and said, no, I'm not supposed to, that's not me, that's not my role. Adam, you go up there. But instead of doing that, Eve overstepped her role as the helper. And she not just overstepped her role as a helper and overstepped Adam's role as the leader, she also broke God's command not to eat of that fruit, right? So that's what happened. And then everything fell apart after that. That's why God, in cursing Eve, trying to put her back into her role as the helper. Right? So if you read Genesis 1 and 2, there is no mention of submission. In Genesis 1 and 2, when Adam and Eve were first created, when Eve was created, God didn't say, Eve, submit to your husband. No. Only after she sinned, or caused Adam to sin as well, was she told, you have to submit. That's not your role. You shouldn't overstep your role as the woman, as the helper that God created you to be. So, the good news is, even though Eve did overstep her role, even though that one act of overstepping or not performing what your role is, that one act broke the whole creation, God, in his mercy and grace, sent his son to redeem the roles of the woman and the man. Right? Verse 26 says, in our text, verse 26 says, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. God, in his grace, still sent his son to redeem those roles, right? How? By having Jesus die on the cross and sanctify the church, which includes men and women, right? To redeem all of us. Not just to redeem us in terms of our spiritual salvation, but also to redeem our roles as men and women, right? To redeem our roles as men and women. At the same time, when Christ accomplished his mission on the cross, he also provided the example for godly men to follow so that the role of the man might also be redeemed. Right? Read our text. It is Christ's example that we should follow as godly men. Right? Godly men's role is to lead our families the way God designed us for from the beginning. How? By providing and protecting them. Providing and protecting for your family, providing and protecting for your wife. Okay, so men, that's going to be our focus today. So men who are already sleeping, wake up. Okay, our focus today is what does a godly man look like in terms of our scripture text? Okay? What does it look like in terms of our scripture text? And just like what we did with the women, I'm going to start with a theological understanding of the original role of the man. And then we'll look at some practical applications. Okay? You guys good with that? Okay, good. The woman said, I'm good with that. The men are like, quiet. I don't know about this. But yeah, that's what we're going to do. Understand it theologically first, and then we'll go into practical applications later on. So men, ready? Oh, there's no men in here. It's just women in here. Men, are we ready? Oh, man, this is going to be a challenge, boy. Okay, so before we get into the text, let me just make a comment, okay? More like a clarification. Men, okay? If upon hearing these truths. Okay, I'm just warning you right now. If upon hearing these truths, much like what we heard the last two Sundays when it came to the role of the women, and you examine yourself, and you find yourself to be out of step of God's design for you as a man, please do not think that you are hopeless and either shut down and stop listening or be discouraged. Okay? Once we get in with the text and you look at it and you say, oh no, that's not me. I'm more like the woman. I'm more like the helper. If you hear that and you see it in yourself, don't shut down. Don't say, okay, that's it. I'm not going to listen to the rest of this thing. This doesn't make sense to me. Or don't be discouraged thinking that that's it. I'm hopeless. You're not. Okay, men, I'm going to try to stroke the men right now. Man, it's okay. Okay, I haven't said anything yet, but it's going to be okay. Okay, you're not hopeless. Okay, you're not hopeless. So don't stop listening. Okay, keep listening. Okay, same with the women, okay? Women, upon hearing the last two sermons, as your role as women, if you examine yourself and find yourself lacking, out of step with God's design for you, don't think that you are hopeless. Okay? That's not the point of the message. Point of the message is, even though you are out of step, God's powerful enough to bring you back in step with how he designed you to be, right? So please don't take this negatively. Okay, that's one thing. Trust in the promises in Philippians 3:14. What's the promise in Philippians 3:14? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Romans 8:28, what's Romans 8:28? For God will work all things for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. Right? Trust in those promises that even though hearing these messages showed you the reality of your being a woman or being a man, and that reality is that you are far from where you ought to be as a godly woman or as a godly man, trust that God will be able to do all the things through Christ who strengthens you, and that God is able to work all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. This is not going to be an overnight change. So don't be discouraged. Keep trusting God to work, and he will. Right? Keep trusting him to work, and he will. Again, remember, in the context of us being a church and Christ being our husband, he died so that all of us, men and women, will be sanctified. You know what sanctified means? To be brought back to its original use by its designer. That's what it means to be sanctified. Okay? To be brought back to its original use by its designer. Okay? So if you use a pen to pick your ear, that pen is not sanctified. For that pen to be sanctified, that pen has to be used for what it was designed for. What was it designed for? To write. Same thing with the roles of men and women. To be sanctified in the role of being a man and a woman, you need to be brought back to what God designed you originally to be. Women as helper, men as overseer. Right? Okay? We're good? Okay. I hope you are. And I hope that through his power and his grace, he will slowly restore us back to become the godly wives and the godly husbands that he created us to be, so that we can lead our families to be godly families, godly children. Okay? You have children. So men, you ready? I guess not. Men, are you ready? Okay. So I didn't think it was going to be hard for the men, because last week, women, are you ready? Amen. Men, are you ready? Yeah. Crickets. Nothing. Okay, here we go. Let's start with verses 22 to 24. All right, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Yes, we took that up. Next, 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is in himself its Savior. 24, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. One more clarifying thing that I forgot to mention during the sermon on the wives. It says they submit in everything to your husbands. If your husband is beating on you, like physically abusing you, if your husband is sexually abusing you, if your husband is emotionally abusing you, That's not included in the everything. You get out. Get out of that relationship. Get some help. Okay? I'm not saying that you should submit even though they're beating on you. Okay? That's not the point of this verse. Okay? Submit in terms of a husband being like a regular husband, but if that husband is actually physically assaulting you, then you need to get out. You need to get out, and not just physical, but also spiritual, emotional, and whatever else, sexual abuse. Okay? Are we clear on that, women? Okay. That's one thing I forgot to mention that last time I was here, and somebody was asking, what if my husband is this, that? Yeah, you get out. Get out of that. I'm not saying divorce him right away, but seek some help. Seek some help. Okay? So in our text, back to our men. The reason for the wife's submission to her husband as her submission to the Lord is because the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. That's what it says, right? Again, this kind of submission does not imply a hierarchy in that men should consider themselves higher or better than women. Okay, that's not what it means. But I think that what Paul is driving at here is that the role of the man as an overseer or as a manager. That's Paul's like gist here. The role of the man is that of an overseer, the authority, okay, or the manager. Before God created women, right? God told Adam, here's the Garden of Eden. You take care of it. Right? That's what he said. Go to Genesis 2:15. Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. He was responsible for the Garden of Eden and everything in it, including the woman. Okay? He was responsible for it. So what does that mean? Like when something goes wrong, like when they sinned, who was the first one that God looks for? Adam, right? It wasn't Eve, but Eve was the one who actually sinned, right? And brought Adam along with him. And I said that last time, that's what broke all creation, because that's Satan's goal, to break it, to break those roles so that God's creation will be broken. That's why when Adam sinned and when Eve sinned, God looked for Adam. He was responsible for creation. Right? God created man, put him in charge to manage and to tend creation. After this verse, God even gave Adam the responsibility of naming the animals that he created along with the woman in search for a suitable helper for him. So we can say that the original design of God for man is to oversee and care for creation, including the woman, okay, including the woman. Now, what does this mean? What this means for us as husbands is that we are to lead, we are to oversee and care for our wives. How? By being the initiator. You know what initiator means? You start things off, okay? By being the initiator or the one who sets the example when it comes to the relationship, when it comes to spirituality. Be the initiator. Who here knows of anybody that comes to church but being dragged by their wives? That's not initiating. That's initiating to stay home. That's not initiating to get closer to God. You as the initiator should be the one. Wake up. Let's go to church. Right? Who does that to their families? That's what I thought. Are your wives waking you up in the morning? Or it's time to go to church. It shouldn't be that way. You should be the one initiating going to church. Right? Come on, man. This is our role. We are supposed to lead. And we don't lead from behind. You lead from the front so that they can see you and follow you. Right, men? Men are angry already. Not even at the first point. Go back to our verse. Let's go to our verse, 25 to 27. Oh, you know what? I forgot something. Just keep it up there. Keep it up there. So again, men, we are to lead, initiate, set the example, much like how Christ set the example for church. And based on Ephesians 5, we are to do that by being protector and provider. protector and provider for our wives and ultimately for our families. Now, where can we see that in our text? That's where we get to this. If to initiate and to be the overseer, to be the leader, is to provide and protect, how do we see that, or where can we see that in Ephesians 5? Here we go. First, let's look at the role as protector. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Keep going. 26, that he might sanctify her and having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Okay. Where does being a protector, where can that be seen in these verses? Okay. The husband's role is as a leader is to provide and protect. Where does protector, where can you see protector in these verses? Key phrase is the phrase, two phrases, love your wives and gave himself up for her. See that? Love your wives. That's what it means to protect. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So when Paul says, husbands, love your wives, he's not talking about an eros kind of love. Not a romantic kind of love. That's not what he's talking about. It's not talking about go date your wife, but whether you should go date your wife, and I'm going to get to that in the application part. But here, love your wives, the term that you use for love here is the term, yes, agape love. Okay, agape love. Agape love is not just romanticizing your wife. Bring her flowers, although you should do that too. Right? But an agape love is a love that sacrifices. It's a sacrificial kind of love. What does that mean? That if your wife's doing something wrong, if your wife is not living up to be a godly woman, your role as a husband is to tell her lovingly. Don't just go with the flow and be like, oh, that's, my wife is like that, so it's all good. I'm supposed to love her and care for her. Yeah, agape love. Wanting what's best for your wife. And what's best for your wife is to become a woman who put her hope in God. Not in external beauty, not in a man, not in anything else, but God. How do you lead your wife to be that kind of woman? You love her with an agape kind of love. Okay? I don't know, it's going to look different for each of us. Okay? We all have different stages in our marriages, different people in marriages. So in terms of application, I can only give general applications, but in terms of the theology, that's what Paul is talking about. It's a sacrificial kind of love. It's not a romantic kind of love. And this makes sense because the next phrase is what? Give himself or gave himself up for her. What does that mean? This means that Christ, in loving his bride, the church, gave his own life, flesh and blood, suffered for her, even died for her. All that so he could save her from the penalty of her sins. Right? You know that song by Bryan Adams? Everything I do it for you. Right? I'll die for you. Right? Right? That's what it means to have an agape love for your wife. If that means working hard so that she can see that you're a godly man who provides, do it. Don't be lazy. If that means that working hard and helping her at home, do it. Don't be lazy. Right? We are built different, men, right? Women are built different. We are stronger. Right, men are stronger. Well, there are some women who are stronger than men. But generally, men are stronger. That's why you don't see women going up against men in basketball. No. You don't see men and women wrestling or boxing. No. You don't even see them playing golf together. There's a women's golf, there's a men's golf, because we just built differently. Okay, and the fact that we're built differently, man, that means we can carry more load. Because some men, I'm getting ahead of myself, but some men, okay, I work. So at home, I'm just going to sit and watch TV. You do the dishes. You do the, you know, take care of the kids. You clean the house. But here's the thing about that. Are you the only one that works? Men. Who's men here? Who's husbands here that their wives don't work? Have another baby. Maybe you can keep your wife from not working. But most of us, our wives work, right? So for us to say, I'm tired, I came from work, you cook, you... No, that's not it. You're built different, you can take more. Amen, men? I'd hate to see some of you guys at the grocery store, you know what I'm saying? After you buy groceries, okay, carry it. is that what it is? Is that how we are, men? We're built different. We're supposed to serve and love our wives. We're supposed to give ourselves up for her. If that means dying, then so be it. Okay? But that's how we were designed. And the example we are to follow is Christ. And he did that. And the agape kind of love. Right? It's like... I like watching movies. That's why my illustrations are mostly movies. Who's seen that movie, The Bodyguard? With Whitney Houston. What about In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood? It's both bodyguard movies. You know what a bodyguard is? Somebody who guards your body. That's a bodyguard, right? In the movie, The Bodyguard, Whitney Houston was this big singer. She hired a bodyguard because somebody was coming to get her. In The Line of Fire, Clint Eastwood was a CIA guy who was hired by the president because somebody was wanting to kill the president. That's the bodyguard. And the bodyguard's job is not just to protect your body, but to put his body on the line to protect your body. Right? Even sometimes till death. Right? And imagine dying for somebody you barely know. If you're a bodyguard, would you? You just got hired. It's like a job. I would risk my own life for yours. Sometimes you even hate that person that you're guarding. Right? In the movie, right? Same thing. They hated the person that they were guarding, but their job was as bodyguard to protect. Right? To protect. And the highest form of protection is to offer their lives. So what did Christ do for us? Same thing. But Christ did it so much more because what? The person, the people that he's protecting, hates him. The people that Christ was protecting hated him. In fact, they're the ones who killed him. But he was protecting them. From what? From the wrath of God. From the penalty of their sins. He was protecting them. He was the one who stood, okay, in between us and the wrath of God through the cross and took the bullet for us. Right? That's the highest form of protection. Protection is not just, you know, embracing your wife or, you know, when a burglar comes, you're the one who goes down. Some of you don't even go down. Oh, honey, there's a noise outside. Can you check it? Highest form of protection is actually giving yourself up for the person that you are protecting, right? That's what Christ did, right? That's what Christ did. In the same way, Christ, you know, is also calling us to do the same as husbands. That's our job, to protect our wives, to protect our families, right? Again, in the same way, Christ is our greatest protector by taking the bullet of God's wrath upon himself, that we can be saved from the greatest danger we face as human beings, which is the wrath of God. When judgment day comes, that's it. Not being hit by a bus or being shot by an assassin. It's not the greatest danger we face as human beings. It's the wrath of God that is coming for us. But Christ on the cross took the bullet for us so that we can be saved, right? So Paul, in our text, in exhorting husbands that true love, an agape kind of love, a sacrificial kind of love, he's exhorting us that love protects. And it protects at any cost. Husbands, are you willing to If you were stuck in a boat, the boat was sinking, would you protect your wife? Or would you step on her so that you can get to the... You're the helper, right? Okay, help me get out of here. Husbands, our role is protector. Overseer of the family, our role is a protector. Right? Just like Christ protected us. Second, to protect and to provide. So our role as husbands, as overseer, is to protect and to provide. To provide. Now, where can we see that in our text in Ephesians 5? Where can we see provide? Verses 28 and 29. 28 says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. So what's the key word here? Nourish and cherish. Again, following the examples of Christ, husbands should nourish and cherish their wives as his own body, as his own flesh. To nourish in the Greek, ektrepho, okay, in this text is to sustain, okay? To sustain or to raise or to bring to maturity. To sustain or to raise or to bring to maturity. That's what it means to nourish. Not just to feed, but to sustain and to raise and to bring to maturity, right? To cherish, talpo, okay, is to comfort, to tenderly care for warmly. Okay, that's what it means to nourish and to cherish. I think the nourish word here is used for mothers nursing their children, but you can also use it in our context for the husband to nourish their wives, to provide for their wives, to help sustain them and to raise them and to bring them to maturity, and at the same time to cherish them or to comfort, to warm, tenderly care for and warm them. Now, I want you guys to keep these definitions in mind as we move into the application for these truths about the role of the man and how we go about doing that. How do we nourish and cherish our wives? How do we go and protect our wives in a practical sense in your marriages? How do we go about that? But before we get into that, let me just say this one thing. What we need to do is to understand that the protection and the provision that the Bible is talking about is two-dimensional. Okay, what do I mean? It means that the wives need both physical and spiritual protection, and that our wives need physical and spiritual provision. So it's not just all physical, but there is a spiritual aspect to it as well. So in protection and in provision, there is a physical and spiritual aspect to it. As husbands, we are called and wired by God to do both. Again, and note, some men are not necessarily gifted to do both, but all men are called to do both. If you're a husband, you are called to provide and protect both physically and spiritually. Both. Not just one. I provide, but I don't protect. I protect, but I don't provide. Or I provide, but only physically, not spiritually. We're called to do both. So there's four things, right? Provide, protect, physical, spiritual, on both. Right? We are called to do that, but we are not necessarily gifted. Not all of us are gifted to do that. Okay? There are some men who can't lead in Bible study in their own families. There are some men who are, let's say physically, they are incapable of getting a job. If they're crippled or if there's something wrong with them physically, they can't get a job. They can't provide materially or physically. So we're not all gifted to do it, but we are all called to do it. So again, we have to keep trusting that God, if you're not gifted, okay, in some of these things, we need to trust God to gift us. We need to trust God to be able to provide for us so that we can be that godly man who provides and protects both physically and spiritually. Okay? Now, I say this as a caution to the wives and as an encouragement to men. Okay? I say that as a caution to the wives and as an encouragement to men. What I mean by that is that some men, again, are just not gifted in some areas that either protection or provision is needed. They know that they are called to protect and provide, but they are not to that point yet where they can do both, right? And both protect and provide spiritually and physically. So they're not at that point yet where they can do both. So I think that the main reason these men need encouragement is because some wives expect too much from their husbands. And I said that this the last time I was up here, that you shouldn't put that kind of expectation on your husband. You get to know your husband, know his limits, and help him get better. Right? That's wives, that's our roles, right? That's why I'm saying this as an encouragement to the men. Right? Some wives, they just expect too much from their husbands. They watch too many romantic movies, they want their husbands to be the same. They watch too much of Hugh Jackman, or they want too much of who's the new sexy Hollywood star now? I want you to be the same. Get rid of those flabby, you know, too much expectation. What if your husband's not built like that? Right? What if your husband's not built like that? So encourage him, but don't put too much expectation on him. They'll crack down. He'll crack beneath those expectations. Right? And then when their husband falls short, instead of being a helper, they become a critic. Sometimes even using these sermons against their husbands. Right? Husbands, you're the same way. Don't use these sermons against your wife. Oh, Pastor said, you should be helper, help. Oh, Pastor said, you should be this. Do it. Don't use these sermons against each other. This is not for that. This is for you. Don't use it against your husband or your wife. Both husband and wife, please don't use the biblical truths being shared here against each other. All that does is discourage one another and does nothing to build up your relationship to your spouse. Instead, we should use these sermons, okay, to continue trusting that God, who called you to be a godly husband, a godly wife, will equip you and help you to become one. Or in other words, don't put your hope on your husband, or don't put your hope on your wife to change the way they are, or to change who they are. Trust in God to do that in them. Right? It's a process. There are no shortcuts. There's only the husband and wife trusting in the grace of God and putting their hope in God through serving and encouraging each other, working together to reach the goal of becoming a godly man or a godly woman. Okay? Now, let's get to the application. Or should we? Do I have enough time? No, I don't have enough time. So men, how do we protect and provide for our families, both physically and spiritually, in a more practical sense, in a more practical way? Do you want to know? Come next week. It's too long. I'm going to cut it off there. But I want you guys to keep this in mind, okay? Husbands, what's our role as husbands? First is an overseer. Okay, and as an overseer, what are you supposed to be doing? Providing and protecting. How do we provide? Nourish and cherish. How do we protect? Love, an agape love. Sacrifice, give yourself up for your wives and ultimately for your families. What does that look like practically? We'll take a look at that next week. Amen? Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer.